Weiter in Shas. We are in Bava Metzia, Daf Samech. Speaking of on Samech Zayin Beis, but about the page 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom, going on and continuing with the topic of the mashkanta, that the guy, I lend you $1,000, you give me a field, and that I take from and just deduct from the price over time. Rav Kahana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, right? We said that a tzor b'mei rabbanan shouldn't do such a thing. Rav Kahana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, lo achli b'nechaisa. They wouldn't eat the value of it as it goes down. They wouldn't behave like that. Rav Inachal b'nechaisa, but he would do it. He would eat it. He said, "Hey, no problem with this. We good." The way that Tosos says that Ravina tried to hide who he was, and he didn't, you know, wasn't as well known at the time, so therefore wasn't looked at as like a role model or a model that, you know, that a person shouldn't behave like that. So that's why he would go and do such a thing. Amar Mar Zutra, my time in demand Acha ben Chaisa. What's the reasoning of the one who does do this, aka Ravina? Midi Dahavi Astei Achuza. He said, because it's just like the case of Astei Achuza. Astei Achuza, literally in ancestral land. The halacha is, by Astei Achuza, is that if someone goes ahead and they decide to give it to Hektish, to the Beis HaMikdash, they hold on to it and they sell the produce of it until, and they use that, you know, they use that for profit until Yovel. Once Yovel comes around, it becomes a property of the Kohanim. But before Yovel, anyone has the opportunity to go ahead and to redeem Astei Achuza. They could buy it by a Hektish for what the Torah comes and tells us how much you have to go and you have to pay for it. Right, the pasuk is that Ve'im Mistei Achuza So Yaktish Ish La Hashem V'Hoya Erkecha Lefi Zaro Zera Chomer Sa'or Mechamishim Shekel Kasef, an area of seeded by a chomer of barley for 50 silver shekel. That's how much you have to go and you have to pay for it, and the price goes down every year. So midav Astei Achuza, Astei Achuza lav. Is it not so that when it comes to Astei Achuza that was given to Hektish, Ava gavda ka'acha peri tuva, even though somebody who redeems the field is going to have a lot of produce from it every single year, like what you're paying, you're getting so much more than if it would have stayed as it was. Rashi says Hektish, that is vafagav da'acha peri Hektish tuva sheshav and peris shel kol ha'shana harbe. It's worth a lot of stuff, and you're paying very little. Amar Chmana, the Torah still teaches us. Beep, turn the page. Samaches kaparik la ba'arba zuze. That one can go and redeem it for 4 zuz. 4 zuz is a seller. Rashi says dainu seller, meaning the value of how many years it was. Hachanami l'shna. So it's one per year. So if it's 50 and 49, then 48, 47, and so on and so forth. Right. So. Yo, that's the Hachanami, Loshna, there's no difference. And the lender is able to take the borrower's stuff, and it goes down according to the year. It continues to go down. Uman, da'asar, amar l'cha, and the one who answers this deal over here says, you can't do such a thing, that you don't go ahead and take from it. Astei Achuza Hektish, he says, no, what are you bringing a raya from Astei Achuza? Astei Achuza is Hektish. Vachmana, okmei apidyon, and the Torah set up a certain type of redemption that's done with it. Hachalva, but over here, this is ava, he, this is ava, Rashi says, pidyon, talio milsa, rachmana ukimna ahai pidyon. Sorry, that's still on the, yeah, right. Va'amr bahachi nifrak. Hasam lav alva. So that's what Rashi says. Here is considered alva, there it's not. So, umechsik ribbis, and therefore, since it's alva, it looks like ribbis, he can't do it. Amar Rav Ashi, Amri Li Sabe Damasa Mechasia, the elders of this place called Mechasia, they said, Stam Mashkanta Shaita, a Stam Mashkanta, if someone doesn't say how much they're leaving it over for this field, it's going to be for 1 year. Lamai Nafkamina, what exactly is an Nafkamina here? Di Achalo Shaita, that if the lender has it and he eats the value for 1 year, Matsi Mesalically, then the borrower can now chuck him by paying the loan that he owes him. V'lo, but if he didn't, if he hadn't been there for a year, then lo matzim esalikli, he's not able to go and kick him out. And this, Rashi points out, is kol shenaso v'afilu ba'asad de mesalikli. Remember yesterday we discussed that idea, it depends on what type of town it is. Some towns, they're mesalik, they can go, they can pay off the loan. So if I lend you $1,000, you could pay me back the $1,000 within, even though we did it for a year, you could pay him back within the year. Or maybe not. That just depends on what the minhag is. So here, even in the case you can do it, you can't do it if it's a stam. Because a stam, we say that a stam, mashkanta is going to be a shaita. So again, diachala shaita matzim misalakle ve'ilo. And if not, if it hasn't been a year, then lo matzim misalakle. It only starts from after that year that you could start. Vamra Ravashi, amr li sabi d'manas v'chasi. I said, my mashkanta, what is the idea of mashkanta? This wording, mashkanta, where does it come from? D'shchuna gabei. What it means is that it's shachar, means it dwells with the lender. That's what it means. It's shchuna gabei, right? It says, ein shachin karov bimenu. There's no one greater than this this neighbor, so to speak. Lamai nafkamina. What's a nafkamina? Ledina devar mitzvah. The halacha of bar mitzvah. Fascinating halacha of bar mitzvah. That is that the word bar mitzvah means the person of the meitzar, like mina meitzar means like a boundary. So the one who has the boundary. So let's say this is a drabbanan dikadin, that if somebody's selling a property, then his neighbor who has a property right next to it has the first right of buying it over here. And that we learn it from Vasisa Yashava Tov, that you go ahead and you sell him this thing. So what Rav Vashi is saying over here is that the lender who has the stuff right now, he's considered the closest neighbor, so to speak. So if the borrower wants to go and sell it, he is the first option to go ahead and to buy it. The halacha is not like the tarshe papunai. V'lo kishtari mechuzunai, v'lo kichachire narshai. Which we shall now explain. Kitarshoi papunai, kitarshoi de Rav Papa. It's talking about the tarsha of Rav Papa, right? And that is that Rav Papa would do the type of tarsha that he would say was mutter. It doesn't work. We saw this earlier in Dav Samachay. It was the one with the beer, the date beer, that it stayed until Nisan, and he would sell it for the higher price for then. Rav says, remember, we ended the Gemara in a strange way. It kind of said like, look, I don't have to sell it now, and I'm selling it for them now, so I'm doing it for them. And the response was like, but look at them, they're losing out because they don't have money now, and therefore they're forced to take yours at a higher price for later on. So he said, Lacha doesn't work like him. Shtar mechuza mechoz no. There's a general thing called an iska, which we're going to see later soon. We're going to hit. That is when there's some sort of business deal that goes on. So let's say what happened is that you have the money guy, the backer. He gives money and he gives it to a guy to go deal with the actual, the silent partner versus someone who's going to be dealing with it. So that guy goes and he puts in $50 and he says that, look, let's call it $100. Really, the cash guy is going to be giving the $100, but he's kind of loaning the $50 to the other guy. The businessman is going to go out there, do the business. If they make $1 million, so he pays back the half of the money that he owes to him, his half, and then they split the rest that's going on. That's good and dandy. Everything's good. But what happened in the case of the Shtari Mechuznoi? They did a shtickle Torah where the guy giving the money, the money man behind the scenes, he gave, let's say, $100, and they assume that it's going to come out with a total profit of $20. Whatever, 100 million, it's going to be 20 million, whatever the monies are. Just keeping it simple here for a second. Yes, keep it simple, stupid. So he gives $100, assuming there's going to be a profit of 100, and there's going to be a 20 profit. So he'll get back 50 and then another 10. But what does he do now? They put into the deal that, you know what? I'll just take the assumed profit's going to be 20 total, 10 each. I'll just take that 10 each now, and then you'll end up afterwards, if it ends up making more than that, then you get to keep more of it. But if it's less, I'm guaranteed my 110. That over there is not a good deal. You can't do that, because miyemer davar avcha, how do we know there's going to be a revach, there's actually going to be a profit? Maybe it's going to lose money. But mechaznoi, people said, nah, it's like he bought it out, like he sold it to a third party. But we say, no, you can't do that, because it's a davar shelo baliolam, so it's not really like it's sold, and therefore it's usher to do this type of ASIC, this type of business deal. Part of the deal also was that the money guy behind the scenes would never challenge whether or not the businessman was telling the truth or he was lying. Amar le Marbar Avashi, Marbar Meimar le Avashi,
Abba Avirachim, my father would actually do this. He'd be involved with the Mechozo Shteko. But when they would come in front of him, he would believe them. That's just Amalei Lohavi Ravcha Mehemen Lohu. He would believe whatever they said. Amalei, and Rashi said, right, and he said whatever amount of money which came in, he would take exactly what they tell him. Amalei said, Tena Hecha de Isali Diday. Okay, that's good. If he himself is here when it comes. But Yishakiv and Upfil Shtarik Kamei, ask me, my, what happens if he dies and now falls in front of the Yisomim? Maybe the orphans, the Yisomim, they're not going to believe the guy. They're going to take more than they should be taken. They end up being with an issue of ribbis. Haved kishgaga shiotzim lifnei ashalit. If I answer these words, we've had this come up before. Not a nice way of speaking. It's like an error that goes from a ruler. Because he said that. Because they said it, but the father ended up dying. What was the deal that the Narshayans would do? The Kasvihachi, they would write the following in a shtar that would bring down that would write down the Mashkanta. Mishkan lei planya arye lepanya. This borrower gave his land over to this lender. And he leased it back from him for X amount of produce per year. That's how they would pay it, with produce. Amos de the halacha doesn't go with this because we're going to say, when did the lender acquire the land that he can go and give it back to the borrower and lease it to him? Like, what? Well, it's a little bit shady. Rashi says, milva lahach sada, Amos kanya milva lahach sada, da'akni le'alei le'bailem b'toris chachirus, v'nim tzano to ribis kitzutza. He's not going to end up losing anything. It's going to be ribbis. Now, nowadays that they write this by the pledges, the lender, acquire this land, v'shahina kame idne, and he stayed with it for a long time. Rashi says b'yad hamalver. And he ate from it, and he took from it, you know, it's lowering the price, and then he gave it. And then he gave it over as a lease. In order to not lock the door by the in front of the lovim, shaper dummy, that's something which would be done. That's something which is okay. Rashi explains why is it that a shaper dummy, if you don't let people do it, they're not going to lend money. They came into Shaya Gabe Valchotel Shani, he stayed by him and he ate for 3 years. Mali Avid Ba Iu Mali Chacher. What does it make a difference if it's it or is Chacher did it with the, if he allowed it to be through the produce? But that got shut down. Valav Milsi, nice try. I says, Dafil Shia Nami, that's going to be Usher Deribis Gamurhi. Shane Kan Safi Kaose Vaos Vaochel Shapa Amin Shemotsivan Notel. When he's lying himself, he might gain, he might lose, but he gives it to him, lends out, it's like vada, he's gaining. That is a problem of ribbis. Okay, now we're getting hot and heavy into what's called iska and heter iska, and what type of business deals are a mutter that is not going to be a ribbis issue. Let's take a little look again at iska for just a moment. The general way of an iska, the business, the way that it works, is that you have two partners. One is like the silent partner, one is the non-silent partner. That's the way I'm putting it over here. So the silent partner is usually the guy with the cash money. He gives all the money. Right, all the money or the goods, whatever it is. And the other guy, he's doing all the work over there. He does all the business. Now, whatever profits come out, they split. They split between the two of them. And then the guy who gave the money, he's given back half of his money, you know, to be able, because it's considered like a half in. Okay, so now, originally the way that this worked, he didn't get back half his money. He got back all his money because he put all the money in. The guy doing the work, so he got half of the profits. He put in $100 million. They made $100 million, so the guy gets back $150 million. He makes his $50 million, and everything's great. That's how they had it, and the guy who's doing the work, he didn't lose anything. If it didn't work, so then what happens if it did go well, then he got the profits because he did this, he did his business. He worked for it. But if it didn't go well, then the guy who gave the money, he loses everything. Your abundant said, we got a bit of a problem over here. They set up that the guy who's managing the money, who's doing actually all the work over here, he just has to share some of the loss that correspond to his share of the profits, of what he would have gained. Therefore, he takes to manage an iska for half of the profits. He also takes liability for half of the loss. The reason they did is they thought if people wouldn't be willing to do it, then the financiers, the guys behind the scenes with the cash, wouldn't do business with them because why should they have to take all the risk? All right, so how does this work out? Uncle Art gives an example. Let's say you got the cash money guy, the quiet guy. He gives 100 dinar, and it comes out to 20 dinar profit. Now it's sold 120. The guy who gave the money gets back his money, his 100 dinar, plus half of it, so he gets 110 in total. The other guy gets 10. But let's say it loses out, and only 80 dinars are left, so the loss of 20 dinars is also divided between them. The guy who managed it, he has to give 90 dinars, must give the 90 dinars, and each of them lose out 10. The 80 that's left goes back to him, and they split that loss, and he loses out 10. Now, after this, Sister Abundant Shtickle comes out that half of the money is loaned to the partner because he's responsible to give back whether it goes well or it doesn't go well. And he keeps the profits or he gets hit with the losses of half that's given to him. So his share in the profits is no longer his payment, but rather it's his own profit that he gets for doing his work for his part of the capital. And for the other half of it, it belongs to the cash guy, and it's just given with the working partner who manages it for him. All the profits and losses that for this half belong to the guy who gave the cash money. So we're going to see Gemara later on that it's going to use this type of lashon. The iska is a half loan, and it comes out to a half loan and half deposit. So why isn't there ribbis over here? Because if they end up making money, the guy who gave the money, the financer, his return on the money is not ribbis because he gets only the profit that comes to his portion of the capital. But the whole thing is the undertaking is usser because the managing partner gives a service to the guy by managing his money. The share of the profits given to the managing partner is not his payments, is not wage for this. The service is therefore considered free as a reward for them giving the money. And that's an issue of ribbis. The problem can be fixed by paying the partner a fee for his services, like we're going to see in the Mishnah. Ein moshivin chen v'ni. L'machas ischar. You can't go ahead and set up a chen v'ni, a storekeeper, with produce that he's going to sell for him for half of the schar. Rashi explains that the money guy can't go and start an iska with a storekeeper where the money guy is going to buy stuff wholesale, give it to the storekeeper to sell for retail, and all the profits and losses divided equal between them. In such a case, they would assess the value of the produce in the beginning. The storekeeper would accept achrayas for half of the value no matter what happens, even if there's any losses. And the capital is considered half loan, half deposit. So therefore, this guy is a lender and the storekeeper a borrower on the half of the capital, while the other half of the deposit belongs to the guy himself, the financer. The undertaking is also because the storekeeper and borrower, he's being a borrower, gives services to the money guy, the lender, by managing half that is actually a deposit. So ein moshim l'chen v'ni l'machis schar v'lo yitin mos likach behen peros, and he can't give. You can't give somebody money in order to buy fruit, buy produce, and then sell it for half of the profit. That's similar to what we said before. What's the difference? In this case, the money guy doesn't give produce. He just gives them money in order to buy this stuff. And again, the profits or losses are divided between them, like we said before. The Gemara is going to explain why the Mishnah has to even say this case. Ella MK nosin lo schar kapo, unless you give him money like a worker, like you're paying the storekeeper has to be paid by this cash money guy, by this Mr. Cash, for managing it. Now, since half of it of the loan is for the storekeeper's own benefit, you don't have to be paid for the managing the other half, the deposit, like the kilu, the loan that's going on over here. So when the Mishnah says as a worker, it doesn't mean he receives as much as a normal worker. He gets paid, you calculate what the going rate is, and you get half of that because that's what you work on. Ein Moshivin, Tyrna Gol in the Mechsa, you're not allowed, Mr. Cash isn't allowed to go and give chicken, the guy who farms chickens, to give eggs to be hatched if the value of the eggs is assessed and the profits or losses are going to be shared. In this case, each one accepts a chrayas for half of the value of the eggs, that if they break or if they end up dying, each one's going to have half the loss. This is a case of iska. Half the eggs are a deposit that belong to Mr. Cash, and they're being managed by the farmer. The other half are a loan. And, the farmer's work on behalf of him is going to be ribbis for the loan. You're not able to assess the value of baby cows and or a young horse and then give them to people to raise for half of the profits. Yaw. Wow. These young ones are assessed to determine whether the value, what they are, and they're given to someone to go watch them and raise them. All the profits or losses, if they end up dying, are going to be shared. And that's the case of Iska. Ella M. Kane knows in Schar Amolu Mazonu. Give him a schar for his work. Rashi says, Mazon Shumotzi Be'afrochem. You give him money for his work and to feed the animals. These herdsmen are able to accept these baby cows and horses and raise them for half of the profit. If they weren't actually assessed, is what we're talking about over here, then the guy's not taking responsibility if it lost or if they die. Then this agreement is that the herdsman, the one who's watching them, and the Mr. Cash are going to divide the animals after the raise. And whatever the value is, since there's no responsibility for the loss, then there's no loan that's involved over there, and there's no issue of ribbis. Okay, the herdsman can have to raise the animal until they reach a third of how much they're going to grow. And a donkey until it's able to be torn, it can bear a burden. And make sure that you go and you do it there until you go and you split it. When we had mentioned the mission that we have to get out of the issues of ribbis, then the chenvin, the storekeeper, should be paid wages like a worker. And we split it, we see how much it is. Now the Gemara says, well, how much is that? Tana kapol bato. It gets paid like a worker, that's bato. What does that mean? It says Rashi, mashma, kama, adam, rotelito, velashi bato. How much does a person want to take in order to just sit back and do nothing, right? There's a certain amount of money a person would take for working. I'd say $100 an hour. I'm totally making this. That doesn't make sense. $25 an hour. But how much would you get paid just to sit and do nothing? $20, or $12 or $10, or whatever it is. Now, right, minimum wage for that. Says Gemara, my kapol bato, what does that mean? He has to get paid more than that because the guy's actually working. This guy's working, getting the fruit, selling the fruit, weighing the fruit. Why should he even accept to take like that? Beep, turn the page, some customer base. What it means is, says Rashi, let's say you have a person who was a nagar or a nafach, he was a carpenter or he was a blacksmith. How much would a person willing to take in order to be mevato from that malacha, which is a hard malacha, and do an easier type of malacha? That's the question over here. Utsricha. What's it answering here? We have to answer, why is it the Mishnah side say two cases? You can't supply a chenveni with produce for half profit, and you can't give someone money to do buy produce and sell for half profit. Why did you say both? Utsricha. Ditana chenveni, which is not the case of the chenveni, who's give produce, you supply him, and you have to pay him like a worker who's bato, chenvini, who desagile kapol bato, then I would think that only in the case of a chenvini, then you could pay him like that. Why? Because his efforts for this Mr. Money is not like big, because he just has to sell the stuff, sell the produce. What's the big deal? Of a most likach ben peiros. But giving somebody money to go and buy the stuff and then sell it, nafish shircha, is a double aim of year. You're working more. It's not enough to pay him like a kapol bato. You have to pay him full on. And from Moshe says, this case also, that even though there's more, you have to pay him like a kapol bato, not more. And if you just want to say the case of where I give him the money to go buy the pears and sell it, Havamina would say, that's what you pay a bato. Because he's doing hard work. He's not doing such hard work. You can give him even a little bit, even less than a pole bato. That even if the storekeeper just dips his foot into fish sauce with him. V'lo achalimo ela grogeres achas zeus charo. He just ate with him one dried fig. That's enough, and he's paid enough. And therefore, the mitzvah is to say no. This guy also have to pay kapol batot tzricha. You have to bring both cases. Dr. Gemara kama eze v'tana golem ma'elam simin. Simin. Now, Tana Rabbanan, Zog da hai lege gemura.
When we talk about this business deal over here, we got two partners. You got the money guy and the guy doing the work. The question is, how much do you have to go and give the guy in order that it's not going to be ribbis? Tana Rabbanan, we see in a braisa, kama hu schar, how much is it? Bein meruba u bein muat. Whether it's a little or a lot, Rabbi Meir, work it out. Work out what the deal is, and you pay a little bit, you pay a lot. Even if he just dipped his food in the fish sauce with that guy, he got some food from him. One thing, that is the schar that they pay him. He says, no sin lo schar mishalim. He has to give him the full on payment. Rashi says, kipol batel, means it's to pay him kipol batel. That's how we have to work out. Now, talking about another brisa. Ein sham lois, isav lois arachilim. You're not allowed to assess goats and or sheep. V'lo kol davar she'ein osa v'ochel, or anything that doesn't work, but eats. Rashi says, v'lo osa v'ochel, kigom, but something that works and eats, like a para chareches, v'chamor to'enes, masoi pa'ulasan, hu schar amol mazon. So then it gets more, right? L'mechsan, he has to give, and anything that doesn't work. Let's try it again. Ein shaman lo se izo v'lo se rechelem. You don't assess goat's sheep. V'lo kol davar she'enu osa melacha. She'enu osa v'ochel. That doesn't work, but eats. L'mechsa. And you have to give to the herdsman to raise for half of the profit. That is, since the animals are assessed, it's understood that he's taking responsibility for half of the possible losses. This is therefore an isko, which is usser, unless it's paid for his work and expenses. The Bryce is saying that the isser applies only to animals that don't work. The animals that actually do work, like ox and donkeys, and it's mutter because the herdsman can work the animal in place of his wage and expenses. So the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda Omer, Shaman is a isim, you can assess the goats, b'nei shecholavos, because they give milk. Because they give wool when they shear them, they rinse them where they're plucked, and some of the wool comes off, or they come by thorn bushes, rashes, it's plucked. So Yosef is saying that he keeps the goat's milk or the sheep's wool, and therefore it's going to be mutter, because this is like payment, and for him, vesatayin argolas, or for a hen, mipleishi osa v'chelas, because it produces eggs and it eats. So it eats from the stuff that it gives, and therefore, yeah, that's why you're allowed to. You are allowed to assess these as well. In fact, the gemara of a tanakama, according to tanakama, giza v'chol of lo sipik schar amolu bezono, but that's not good enough. Why you say that's not okay, right? Danakama asers, assessing the sheep and the goat for half the profit, even if he goes and he takes his stuff, why would that be? For the Gemara, when it comes to him taking the shearings in the mill, everyone agrees that's going to be mutter, even the Tanakama. Keep pligi, are they arguing? They're dealing with when he's only getting the whey, that's a liquid that separates from the milk, and the wool that sheds through the rinsing, but it doesn't actually get the giza, the stuff that's shorn off. That's what the machlokas is on. Tanakama Savar L'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he holds Zamer Nosin Lo Schar Mishalim. He's got to give like full on, and the whey and the wool that's shed is not like full on Schar Batel. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda Savar Lo Kavu, he holds like his father, Rabbi Huda, Da'amar Afilu Lo Tavli Mo Ala Btsir, and he just dips the food with him and some food and fish sauce. That's enough, and therefore this whey in the wool is considered enough amount of payment. Another brisa, Tana Rabbanan, maskeres isha lechaver to tanagol. So a woman can rent a hen to her friend in order to take eggs, as she says, lishana, for a year. B'shtei efrochem, for a fee that of two efrochem. That's two. Oh, I'm sorry. Right, yeah. Two afrokim per year. That's Rashi says l'shana. Two fledglings. Isha shama l'chaverto. But if a woman says to her friend, "Tanagol shali, the hen is mine. Ubeitzim shalichi, and the eggs are yours. Vani at va'at nachlok per afrokim, and
So incubate your eggs, and then we're going to divide it. Rabbi Yehuda Matri, he says, okay. Rabbi Shimon Osi, he says, us, because they agreed to share the profits. This is like an iska, and just like any iska, they have to share the loss as well. So if the eggs break or they don't hatch, the hen owner has to compensate the egg owner for half of their value. Well, the eggs are considered half loan, half deposit. And the owner's toil on behalf of the egg's owners is for the owner's share of the investment, that deposit is ribbis. Now, Rabbi Huda lo boi schar amolim bezono. Rabbi Huda doesn't need that the working partner gets payment for the work and for the mazon, right? Being the fact is that the woman's going to divide the fledglings afterwards. It's an iska. So how could the hen owner be? How is it mutter for the hen owner to do the work and to feed the fledgling without getting any pay? And for the Gemara, ika beitzim muzaros. There are beitzim muzaros, which are eggs that didn't really make it, but they're still able to be eaten by those who want to. It's just eno koltos afroch notlim b'schara ve'imutaris bechila darmina b'shchita schulin. I eat a beitzim muzaros nefesh ayofet tochlem. Someone who can handle it, they can go and they can eat it. Tanu rabba, so they're getting a payment over there. Tanu rabba, non. Zog de b'risa makom shenogu lasu schar katof lamos behema, in a place where the minig is to take a schar katof is the delivery fee, because they put it on their shoulder, to a herdsman who raises a young animal, Milam, you have to go and give it to this person. You have to pay him. The ain mishan and minig medina, you don't change from what the minig medina is. That's what's done. I'm showing him Leil Omer. Shamin egel imimo, you can assess a calf with its mother, and a young horse with its mother, and give it to a herdsman to raise without paying any of the fees of managing it at all. Even a place where the custom is, the minig is to give, you know, to pay up, you know, this delivery fee. Rash says, "Lagolam eschachem nishumim levadam." In fact, the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lo boy yischaram alum azano. You have to pay for the work. It's going to ikad the glalim. They have the glalim. The glalim are the dung that the animals use, and they can use it for fertilizer. Ivi idachur b'tanakama. Why doesn't he say that's enough of a payment? Glalim afkurim afkur. This is because that's hefker over here. Right, so he gets it anyway in Tanakama, so that's not considered like any sort of payment. Okay, my friends, we are going to stop over here. I want to wish all y'all a great, great day.